You know, in recent years, we as a nation have become very health conscious. We know all about nutrition now, and we look at every label and read and say, well, how much sugar and how much this and how much that? And I think that's good. I really mean that. I know some of you don't think I'm sincere, but I mean it. I think it's great. Now we're finally waking up to the fact that we are what we eat. The problem is, though, there are some who are really obsessed with dieting. And everywhere I go, I meet somebody either on a diet or going to go on a diet, most likely tomorrow. Have you met some of those? And health food stores are just, it's enormous business. Diet pills, oh, by the billions of dollars. It's a huge industry now. Dieting is a huge industry. And the economy is doing well, apparently, with this business. Billions and billions of dollars change hand over diets and all kinds of diet product. But everybody has a diet book. Everybody has a diet plan. Everybody has a diet. So I thought I'd decide to have one of my own, okay? Rule number one. If you eat it when nobody can see you, it has no calories. If you drink a diet soda with one hand and a candy bar in the other, they cancel each other. If you fatten everybody around you, it makes you look slimmer. Last rule, pieces of cookies, if you break the cookie down and you have the pieces, the process of breaking it down makes the calories leak out, so you won't put on weight when you eat it in pieces. So much for my rules of dieting. A friend of mine once said, this is several years ago, he said, you know, Americans are the only people who go from air-conditioned houses to air-conditioned cars in order to get to air-conditioned offices. And then they go to a health club and pay $50 an hour to sweat. And I thought, how true it is. I know I'm stepping on some toes here, but turn with me, please, to 1 Peter, because Peter talks about spiritual diet. He talks about spiritual health diet. And we come to this part of the series of messages of chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. We started by talking about Peter's sevenfold blessings, verses 1 to 12 of Peter chapter 1. Can you remember those sevenfold blessings? Let's say them together. No, it's okay, I'll do it for you. The blessing of election, the blessing of a new birth, the blessing of the living hope, the blessing of our inheritance in Christ, the blessing of our security in Christ, the blessing of the opportunities to be able to suffer for Christ, and finally, the blessing of grace. And then, as a result of receiving these blessings so freely, undeserved, we turn in gratitude to God and do several things. We looked at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 21. As we saw in the last message, that out of the attitude of gratitude for these sevenfold blessings, we did several things. Peter is saying to us that in gratitude, we are to live a life that is alert and self-control. Out of attitude of gratitude to God for the sevenfold blessings, we are to live a life of holiness and obedience. That in attitude of gratitude to God for these sevenfold blessings, we live in awe and in respect and in honor to the majesty of God as our Father. And today we continue that attitude of gratitude for the sevenfold blessings that are ours because of Jesus. Look at verse 22. The Apostle Peter said, having purified your souls by obedience to the truth, for the sincere love of the brethren, love one another earnestly from the heart. How can the world know that you and I have been cleansed from sin? How in the world will they know that? By being different. That's what Peter's saying. As a matter of fact, the root meaning of the word holy means different. Listen to what I'm going to tell you, because I know what I'm saying to be true experientially. The biggest concern and challenge for Christian young men and women today is how they can live out their Christian life without being labeled by their peers as nerds. How to be a Christian still cool? That is a challenge to every young person who is a believer in Jesus Christ. That's what they're facing today. Adult Christians are not far behind. I have seen that with my own eyes. Adult Christians are being hindered from the pursuit of holy living. Adult Christians are being hindered from the pursuit of living solely to the Lord and for the Lord. Why? Out of fear that they too are going to be labeled by society. They're going to be labeled by others as square, wet blanket, use whatever language you want to use, and the rest of it. And I want to tell you, in all candor, the devil uses that fear of being labeled in order that he may keep Christians from growing up in Christ. The devil uses this fear of being labeled by others to keep us from living an effective Christian life in the world today. And yet the one thing, listen to me, the one thing that will make those who try to label you, those who try to intimidate you, the one thing that will make them take notice of your faith in Jesus Christ is not your conformity to their standards, but to your love of them despite of your difference. The one thing that will make the world sit up and take notice is when they see Christians truly loving one another. But I want you to listen to what I'm going to tell you and take it to heart. As long as we judge one another as they do, as long as we criticize one another as they do, as long as we fight with each other as they do, as long as we treat each other with viciousness like they do, we will have no impact on the world. Take it from me. And Peter is telling us here today that love for one another is a sign of us being cleansed from sin, is a sign that we belong to God. And it will manifest itself in three ways. Look at it, verse 22. First, it is sincere. You know, people in the world at large, they love each other because they expect something back, but not for the Christian. Jesus said in Luke 6:32, he said, if you love only those who love you, what credit is that to you? He said, the pagan world does that. But loving the unlovable, loving the ungrateful, loving the undeserving, loving for nothing in return is the true Christian love. He said, love not only should be sincere, secondly, he said, love should be deep. I don't have to tell you that the world is full of shallowness. The world is full of superficiality. That the world is full of selfish love. The world is full of the kind of love that takes and takes and takes and seldom gives. And Peter says, your love ought not be like that. Your love ought to be rich. Your love ought to be full. Your love ought to be bountiful. Not only that your love should be sincere, not only that your love should be deep, but thirdly, he said your love should be from the heart. Love from the heart makes an effort to understand the other person. Love from the heart gives the other person the benefit of the doubt. In gratitude to God, said the Apostle Paul, verse 22, grow in love. Secondly, he said, in gratitude to God's blessings, grow in the word. Verses 23, 24, and 25. I am convinced in my own heart of hearts, I am personally convinced that the reason those who call themselves born again, those who know Jesus, those I have no doubt are believers, do not understand nor walk in the power of God is because they do not understand the power of the Word of God. I am convinced of that. It is because we have ceased to believe that God's Word is powerful. When God spoke to the atmosphere, when God spoke to the universe and he said, let there be light, in an inner second, the sun took its place. When God said to an angel, to the Virgin Mary, you have not been with a man, you're a virgin, but you're going to have a baby because nothing is impossible for God, she did. That's the power of the Word of God. When God speaks, there's power. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. If you as a believer can ever comprehend or understand the power of the Word of God, you would devour it every day. If we would ever comprehend the power of the Word and the power that's in that Word, we would meditate upon it day and night. If we would comprehend and understand and learn how to appropriate the power of God and the promise of God and the Word of God, we would speak it all the time, not just on occasions when we feel holy. And that is why Peter goes on to quote from the Old Testament. He goes on to quote from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6, 7, and 8. All men are like grass, and all of their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of God stands forever. The most powerful and the rich, they will bloom for a time, and then they will soon fade away. That's what he's saying. But the Word of God stands forever. I know, and you know, that the Word of God in society at large is ridiculed right now. The Word of God is maligned. And people are almost afraid of it. And they don't want to bring it to schools. Don't bring it anywhere. We don't want this. This is just, don't bring religion in. The Word of God right now is being ignored. The Word of God, even in the confessing and professing church, is being abused and misused. I know that's happening right now. But for those of us who know God, it is no other than the power of God. For God placed His power in His Word. Let me ask you this. Do you grow in the Word of God every day? And I'm not talking about just reading it. I'm talking about growing in it. Do you allow it to come and penetrate your heart and your life, rebuke you, encourage you, and lift you up, whatever the Word of God does? Do you let the Word of God grow you up and mature you in Christ? Can you look back and say, because of my application of the Word of God into my life, I have grown in my spiritual walk with Christ? Do you feed upon it? Do you meditate upon it? Do you exercise the power therein? Because Peter is saying that in gratitude to God, we must grow in love, that in gratitude to God, we must grow in the Word. And thirdly, he's saying, in gratitude to God, we must grow up. I know you've probably heard the saying, you know, oh, just grow up. One man said, my wife tells me that all the time. You see, our generation somehow just doesn't want to heed that exhortation. And we don't want to grow up. One of them told me not so long ago, he said, well, we can only be young once, oh, but we can be immature indefinitely. And that's true. Now, if you go to a doctor and you want to get into some physical shape and physical health, he's going to tell you to do two things. Number one, to put off some things and do other things. To stop doing some things and start doing other things. He'll tell you if you're smoking, you shouldn't smoke. If you're drinking, you shouldn't be drinking. And if you're overeating, you shouldn't be overeating. And then he will tell you after that, you need to go and work out. You need to exercise. And you know what the Apostle Peter is saying? He's saying the same thing here. Dr. Peter is saying the same thing for our spiritual health. He said, for your own spiritual health, you need to do the same thing. First, you need to give up some things, and then you need to work out in the spiritual gym every day. Peter does not say, try to resist these things. He does not say, try to fight these things, because that's what happened. Most Christians are trying to resist and trying to fight, and what's happening? They're fighting a losing battle. He's saying, take it off, just like if I take off my jacket and throw it away. He said, that's what you need to do. You need to take them off. You say, well, I can't. Yeah, of course you can't with your own strength, but with God's strength, you can do all things. Amen? And he's saying several things here that you need to take off. Verse 1, chapter 2. 1 Peter, all malice, all deceit, all slander of every kind, take them off because they are inconsistent with Christian health and character. because they are the very enemies of spiritual maturity. Malice is the desire to inflict pain and harm and or injury to somebody else. Deceit is when you tell a lie or half-truth in order to serve your own purpose. Envy is when you want what belongs to somebody else. He is saying, because there's something in common with those three. Do you know what it is? He's saying these three basically are poison. They're poison. And they're going to kill relationships. The question that you and I must always ask, will what I say or what will I do? Well, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say, going to bless somebody or hurt somebody? Peter is saying that these things are important, of vital importance, that you get rid of them. Why? Because they are inspired by the devil himself. Why? Why is the devil the author of these? Because he loves to see divided homes. He loves to see divided churches. He loves to see divided institutions, because they divide. They keep Christians from maturing. They hinder their spiritual growth. And when that happens, you're going to spend the rest of your Christian life like little children fighting over the silliest of things. Yet the opposite should be true. What did he say? He said, you should be craving the pure milk of the Word of God. Look at verse 2 of 1 Peter 2. Now, milk here is not used in contrast to solid food as Paul does in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Milk here is used differently. Milk here is used in its pure nutritional value. There is no additives, no preservatives, not watered down. That is pure. A friend of mine told me a story. One day he was a missionary back in the 60s. He was a missionary in Tanzania. And he said the milkman, whenever he came to bring the milk in the morning, he would stop in the nearby canal, and he would just add few of the water of the canal into the milk in order to increase the size of it. It's cheating. And I remember, you know, that he'll take it and said, we'll take the milk, we'll toss it out because we're trying to witness to this guy. He said, finally, I really got fed up. And I said to the guy, look, if you're going to cheat and you're going to add water to the milk, at least put tap water. But, you know, today we have many a church, many a preacher, many a pulpit who water down the pure milk of the Word of God, and they serve it to their unsuspecting congregations. And consequently, we have terribly malnourished Christians who are a few steps away from spiritual death. Recently, I read about an American Indian, lovely, godly Christian who was invited to a white man's church, and he sat there and listened to a sermon, and the preacher was just yelling and screaming and pounding because of lack of preparedness and lack of preparation. And he just waved the Bible but never really got to it. And I think you all know the type of individual I'm talking about. And one of the people at the end of the service was looked at him and he said, man, didn't the pastor preach a storm today? Indian man didn't say a word. He said, well, what do you think of the sermon? We said, well, high wind, big thunder, no rain. But you see, that is the refreshing rain of the Word of God that truly works in our lives. Nothing that you and I could say that will really inspire people, encourage people, motivate people, like when we share the Word of God with them. Peter says, if you want to grow up in your spiritual life, you had better feed upon the pure milk of the Word of God. Every one of us stops at least once a day. Some of us twice a day. Some of us three times a day. Some of us six times a day, and we eat. Every day we stop at some point and eat in order to feed our bodies. How many times do you stop during the day to feed your soul? So I just don't have the time. I'm so busy. I got to work early. Wait a minute. How many hours did you spend watching television, reading magazine, reading books, reading whatever? Did you know that half of the books of the Bible can be read in less than 45 minutes each? Many of them would be read in less than 20 minutes. It has actually been demonstrated and proven that the entire, all the New Testament can be read aloud in 71 hours. I heard of a woman who read all 66 books of the Bible 148 times. She's 85 years of age. She still reads the Bible, goes through it 4 times a year. With this kind of example in mind, think about this question. How much time do you spend thoughtfully meditating upon the Word of God?
Thanks for listening to this message by Dr. Michael Youssef, Bible teacher on Leading the Way. The best way to order products or learn more about Dr. Youssef and the International Ministry of Leading the Way is through the web. Make it a point to go to leadingtheway.org and click around. You can also speak to a ministry representative when you call 866-626-4356. May God bless you as you walk with Him each day.